Well met, and welcome to episode 13, the Bill/Shakespeare Project podcast for September 27th, 2009. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Greetings. This is Bill Walthall, and this week we're going to discuss two possible casts and production concepts for The Taming of the Shrew, plus a recap of this week's blog entries. But first, let's talk a little bit about last week's podcast. Last week we discussed the available DVD versions of The Taming of the Shrew, and at the end of that discussion I mentioned a TV version from 1956 with Maurice Evans as Petruchio, one that I would love to see. Well, this past weekend I did a little web searching, and while I didn't find the Evans version, I did uncover some snippets from two other productions. The first is an early 70s New York Shakespeare Festival production with Meryl Streep and Raul Julia. The video quality is horrible, but the performances are wonderful. Julia's quasi-Latin lover Petruchio is priceless in his dumbfounding of Streep's Kate. Now the second is a PBS Great Performances production from 1976 with Mark Singer and Freddie Ulster. It's very commedia dell'arte, very physical, very sexy. It was a blast. I liked it so much that I want to see it all, so I've ordered it from Tower.com, which had a better price than Amazon. Maybe I'll get around to posting a review, and considering the possible arid landscape of four consecutive history plays on the horizon, I may have a couple of open dates available. By the way, both clips are of the wooing scene, and they're worth the effort to search them out. On the notes section of the blog entry for this podcast, I'll post some links to those clips. Now let's move on to the subject at hand, production concepts for The Taming of the Shrew. I gotta admit, this play had me stumped for most of the month. I tend to be a fairly PC guy, but this ain't a PC play, folks. So I had some troubles wrapping my head around it. And it wasn't until I saw that great performances clip mentioned earlier that I got back in touch with the sheer fun of the play. So my first concept is a completely over-the-top, physical, body, sexist version. And it's wrapped inside the Christopher Sly framing device. Now because of this, it would probably be better suited to film than for the stage. I'd use the induction as written, and then pull in the closing piece from The Taming of a Shrew. For more on that subject, check out Podcast 11 and the September 7th and 8th blog entries, Source of Confusion, Sources of Controversy, and Induction. I might even write a couple of additional interstitial pieces for Between the Acts, but if it ends up being a film, then that would probably be unnecessary. In a film version, I would definitely play with some double casting. Sly becomes Petruchio, the hostess becomes Kate, the Lord becomes Baptista, and then the Hapster at the end. The tone of the piece would be close to commedia dell'arte, though probably not in costuming, but who knows. So, the cast. Well, if this is a fever dream of a horny drunk, then who would make a better and hotter Kate than Beyoncé Knowles? Ah, the mind boggles. Yo, Liz Taylor, I'm happy for you and I'll let you finish, but Beyoncé was the most smokingly voluptuous Kate of all time. Sorry for the tangent. Back to the play. At 28, she's about the right age. She's grown into a very solid actress. And let's face facts, Hortensio's description of Kate as young and beauteous fits, and I'd love to see her get all fiery. And the horny drunk who would see himself as the tamer of Beyoncé? Well, you need someone, at least in this version, a little bit Neanderthal, a little touch of modern sensibility, and more than a little bit schlubby. And Jack Black fits the bill. In a colorblind casting, I'd use Ari Grainer as Bianca and Kurt Russell as Baptista. Grainer showed her comic chops in Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, and Russell has been good at broad comedy from his early Disney flicks through Captain Ron and up to Sky High. And for Lucentio, I'd go with Johnny Galecki, now seen in The Big Bang Theory. A little schlubby and nerdy, but very comic. This version could be a lot of fun. Now, for the second possible production concept, I wanted to go in a completely different direction. I wanted to use the concept raised in our Shrew and Subtext blog entry earlier in the week, where Kate's shrewishness has its root in her seemingly assumed role as the mother figure for the Manila household. Kate, here, would be a slightly older, more put-upon character, in her early 30s, with Bianca being much younger, early 20s, now finally ready for marriage. And to make it work, I needed to have a setting modern enough to make Kate's internal conflict real for the audience today, while patriarchal enough to make Baptista's decree believable and understandable. So my solution? Welcome to the fictional Padua, Texas, during the Summer of Love, 1967. Now, I'm still torn over my choice of Kate in this production. On one hand, I'd love to have Sarah Gilbert from the old Roseanne show and more recently a guest spot on The Big Bang Theory. She's 34, the right age, and her comedy is wry, a little biting. On the other hand, I think Anna Faris of the Scary Movies series and The House Bunny would also make a great Kate, vibrant and very attractive, sexy. She's 33 and her comic chops are a bit more physical. She would make a much different Kate than Sarah Gilbert. Now, I also considered Kat Dennings from Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. She's only 25, but I think she could play older. But given my Bianca, I was afraid that I'd be accused of having a case of Nick and Nora-philia, but more on that later. I think we can relate to the character of Kate immediately, given the put-upon subtext and our modern sensibilities, so I would want a reasonably recognizable face, an actress who didn't overwhelm the role, but a face that would make us go, hey, I know her. Now, for Petruccio's character, in this production, I see him as someone who is not a brute, but knows and, more importantly, respects the concept of discipline. I picture him as a Marine, a man who understands from his own experience the idea of break you down to make you stronger, which is what his goal is for Kate. And as Petruccio, I'd want a not-so-recognizable face, one where we might have seen him before, but he's new to us. Maybe even a little enigmatic, so that we learn to understand his militaristic philosophy as we become used to the actor over the course of the production. So my Petruccio would be Kevin Rankin. Who is he? Well, he played the quadriplegic Herc in Friday Night Lights and is part of the cast of this season's new series, Trauma. He has the hollowed-out look of one who's not just a Marine, but one who's seen action. He can also do comedy, both subtle and not so subtle, though wry humor seems to be his most natural instinct. Now, for Bianca, I would choose Alexis Dezinia. She played Ashley in Entourage, as well as the bitchy but cute ex-girlfriend from Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. You see why I backed away from the Kat Dennings casting now, right? She's 25, but she can play much younger. For her love, Lucentio, I'd go with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, fresh from this summer's great 500 Days of Summer. Interesting note on Gordon-Levitt. He played the modern version of Lucentio in the reboot of Taming, the 1999 Ten Things I Hate About You with Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles. And for Baptista, I'd go with Louis Black, verbal, with a little certain gravity. In this version, I see the final speech by Kate as sincere. She doesn't want anyone, read the women, showing disrespect for those in their lives who deserve respect. Her husband deserves respect, and she understands his sacrifice to provide for her security. Now, those are my concepts. I wish I could say something about your concepts and give away a t-shirt, but again, we didn't have any entries this month. And honestly, I don't think we're going to even have a contest for the next 3 or so months. The histories don't exactly make for exciting casting opportunities. If you've enjoyed this podcast, but you haven't been following along with our daily blog entries this week, you've missed out on subjects including Elizabethan marital issues, the role of women in Elizabethan England, the use of falconry imagery in the play, subtext, the wooing scene, and that last speech by Kate. So, if you'd like more in-depth discussions or just want a daily fix, check out the blog entries at thebillshakespeareproject.com or at our Facebook page. Though the Facebook page is more for Shakespearean news than daily discussions of our play of the month. And of course, join us again for our next podcast. Now, usually, I'd say that would be next weekend. But I'm going to be away at a developers conference, so there will not be a podcast on October 4th. On October 11th, however, we will reconvene and begin our discussion of our first history play in the Bill Shakespeare Project, the first part of Henry VI. I hope to see you then. You've been listening to the Bill/Shakespeare Project podcast for September 27th, 2009. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we shall see thee anon.
always dreamed about what it would be like to maybe win one of these someday, but I never actually thought that would happen.
The young lady seems like a perfectly nice person. She's getting her award.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
I thought that was really inappropriate. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like she's getting an award. What are you buttoning? What's he doing?
Why would he do that?
He's a jackass.
It's amazing. I'm the reason everybody fired up this evening. I'm exhausted.
He's a jackass. Breathing,
holding on to what I believe, and no matter what,
he's a jackass.
Take that from me.
He's a jackass.
My rain is.
She's getting an award. What are you buttoning? What's he doing?
He's
a amazing, jackass.
So amazing. So
he's a
amazing,
jackass.
So amazing.
He's a jackass.
So amazing.
He's a jackass. He's a jackass. He's a jackass.
I'm a monster.
He's a jackass.
I know I'm wrong. Yeah, I'm a problem that I never ever be solved.
Let me ask something. I was fortunate enough to meet your mom and talk with your mom a number of years ago. What do you think she would have said about this?